Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello! Welcome to the FDP. I feel like I have to do that because Will's not here today. It's really, really disappointing. But we've got someone that everybody is familiar with by now. He stepped in when I was medically deemed unfit to podcast. But Ali Campbell is back. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. We don't have video this week.
That's good. It's always good.
It is good, but I must say, you're very proud.
Oh.
You're a very proud man, aren't you?
I'm a very proud man.
Yeah.
Of life.
Can you just explain what top you're wearing, just for the listeners?
Oh, my God.
They're not going to be able to see it this week.
Look, I'm wearing a Chelsea top. I at least wanted to feel like a football fan and not someone who hates football come 6 o'clock every Sunday.
But why what about hating football at about 10 o'clock on a Tuesday night?
Look, we spoke about that.
Want to go in on that match straight away because there's a funny story behind it, and then we'll kind of go back to our normal format.
I don't think there's a funny story behind it.
Ali.
It was a terrible night. I cried.
Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0.
Yeah.
The first half was pretty even, I thought. We was only 1-0 up. I thought you had some good moments, good at counter-attacks. You looked very quick on the break. Defensively, you looked okay. You wasn't as much of a shamble as normal. Would you agree?
You know what's really upsetting about that game? Probably the most upsetting thing about that game is I only saw the second half. All I saw was your message as I was picking Lourdes up from the station. 1-0, and I was like, oh no, it was like, there's one or something, and I was like, right, okay, they've just scored. So like, cool. Then I was sitting down, having something to eat with Lourdes when she come back in, and then I thought, right, I go upstairs, I watch it. It was probably the worst 45 minutes of my life.
Yeah, I can imagine. I'm
32 years old, and that's probably the worst 45 minutes of my life ever. Like, I'm not talking about just football, I'm talking about in life generally. I left your group chat.
I only said a couple of comments. I know Will chipped in as well.
I just wanted you Arsenal fans just to win with a bit of class. Look, you're beating a relegation-threatened Chelsea of last season. Like, you know, I mean, somehow we're not relegation threatened this year. I don't know how, when you have games like that, but we've actually, for some reason, at some point, actually played well. but that only happens for about 45 minutes each game. And yeah, sounds like it was the first half, and I'm so happy I missed that, as you can tell.
It just made me laugh because, yes, Will and I, we weren't exactly the most gracious of people in our victory. But you did leave the chat very quickly. I think you knew what sort of mood we were in. You was like, nope, I've enough of this. Fuck this.
I mean, I had to sit through that shit of a performance, for one. I had to sit through that shit of a performance. Nicholas Jackson fucking just deciding, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to boot it straight at David Raya. Not go to the left or the right. I'm going to just boot it straight at him. I had to sit through that, and then all I had in the group chat was you and Will going, Ali, you there? Ali? Knock, knock. Ali? And I'm like, I'm done. I can't do this. Then you added me back.
Did I add you back?
Yeah, you added me back.
Oh, you are back in. I did try to add you back straight away, and it said, no, this person's only just recently left the jail. I was like, oh. I'm pretty disappointed.
It knew. WhatsApp knew. WhatsApp was like, no, leave him alone. Yeah. And you should have, but you didn't.
Mark Zuckerberg was reading them like, nah, leave this guy alone. He needs a break. You cut him some slack. He's a Chelsea fan. Everyone's like, yeah,
It says it's encrypted on WhatsApp. It's not. They're all reading it, going, nah, cut him some slack. God. But yeah, I mean, it was not good. It was not good. And yeah, I mean, it still doesn't beat when we beat you 6-0, but you know. No,
and you know what makes that worse is that was Wenger's 1,000th game as well.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
What makes it just worse. I'll never forget that, because I think
that was
actually,
Poch's
if
last
I remember,
game, yeah,
you were messaging me about that then, said, "Oh, we beat you 6-0," and I'm sure you gave me quite a lot of shit for it.
Yeah, but there was a reason for that.
Was there?
Yeah, we were winning.
I see. Yeah, that's the difference. That makes sense now.
Oh, but I understand why you Arsenal fans aren't that gracious in victory, though. It's because you've only had really two seasons of being this good.
Yeah, for about 8 years. Just
yeah, that's
just,
what that's
well,
what I mean. So
6 years, 5-6 years.
So when I woke up next day, I thought about it and I was like, no, I actually kind of understand why you were like that now. It's because you've not had this for so long.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you've got it. So I understand it. Obviously, I didn't like it at the time. You know, it was just the way it is.
I'm just glad you clarified. That's what I wanted. We can use this podcast to air our thoughts and our feelings. We're big advocates of mental health on FDP. So I'm just glad that you felt comfortable enough to open up to me, Ali. So for that, I thank you.
Please make sure you are following us. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and Spotify. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Simple as that.
But let's move on, because there's been quite a lot happening over in the Championship. Leicester are champions. Congratulations. Jamie Vardy. Is he a legend?
Yeah, it has to be. Has to be that club. Turned down Arsenal when Leicester were flying.
Yeah, just after they won the league.
Yeah, he's the one, and he's the one that turned around and said no at the end of the day, and you know, stuck with him all the way through. Obviously, his last season in the Premier League, I think, he only scored like 3 goals, but and he obviously wasn't his best season. But you know, other than that, he scored what 18 in one season, then 20 in another, then 23 in another. So, and also they've not only won the league, but they also won the FA Cup as well.
They did
in that. You know. I bet Harry Kane would swap his career for an FA Cup and a league title.
Have you seen the memes going around of Vardy and Kane? They're like, Kane's rigging him. He's like, you fucking want another thing? Fuck's sake. But Harry Kane is going to win the Golden Boot in the Bundesliga. You know, the little cannon.
Oh, yeah.
The little Arsenal-style cannon. I think, you know, he's nailed on to win that.
God,
it's amazing. Yeah. You couldn't make this shit up, though, could you?
You could not make it up. You could not make it
written.
Up.
Absolutely written.
That'd be like Thierry Henry winning the Golden Boot somewhere and just getting like a silver cock.
Yeah.
But a cockerel, not an actual dick, obviously, but, you know.
Thanks for clarifying that, yeah.
I just thought I'd clarify.
And what you listeners can't see is Ali's actually trying to hold something, like lift it up, and all I can see is a bit of a sort of jerking motion, which is a little bit concerning, because I couldn't see that half of it. Just saw half an arm.
I don't know why you're lying to the listeners. I mean, you just...
Did you know that Harry Kane has scored against every single Bundesliga team as well now this season?
Has he?
Yeah. First person to do it in their first season.
I didn't know that, no. That's a good stat there.
Bit of news, yeah. Well, Will's not here, so I thought I'd bring you some sort of stat. I don't
Where
take
is he
position.
Anyway? What's going on with him?
Well...
Part-timer.
So, there's two stories behind this.
Oh, God.
The first... actually, I should clarify, we're recording on Wednesday, so it's Wednesday evening at the moment, so we've been delayed. We normally do it on a Monday, but Will had a bit of a poorly head. He had a bit of a headache, so he wasn't able to record. He did say he will let me know when he's free on the Monday during the day. I was like, brilliant. So I was working from home. Everything was set up, ready to go. Just needed Will to tell me the time. Will then text me Tuesday. Yeah, saying sorry, had a migraine, he says. It's obviously just a headache.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, can we record tonight? I was like, no, unfortunately not. I'm working in London, so I can't record. As though he doesn't know what I do during the week. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I'm travelling, but by the by. So, today, as of recording, is Willie's birthday.
Nice, the big 5-0. Love it. Congratulations, Will.
The
you made
big
it.
5-0. He's 35. You'd never believe 35. He's only 35, would you?
Nah.
You'd never believe he's only 35. But I just wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit for a sec, Ali, because when I couldn't do the podcast and you know, quite bravely and boldly stepped in, you Otherwise. Both gave me a little bit of shit for not being on it.
Yeah, we did. That was good times. I enjoyed that.
So could you just let me know where we draw the line in terms of the shit we give Will? Because it always seems to be that you can just give shit to anyone because you're a guest and you're a guest host.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, to be honest, for me, there is no line.
The line is just a dud to you now.
There's just a sand. Exactly. There's just a sand pit, right? And there's no line in there. It's all just there. You can just go wherever you want.
So, is there anything you'd like to comment regarding Will's absence from this week's pod?
Well, Will, I would like to say happy birthday on your 50th. and yeah, I mean, if you can get your ass back in and stop being a part-timer, that'd be great. Stop having to get me fucking being texted at 7 o'clock in the morning, going, can you do the podcast? And I don't even know what I'm agreeing to at that early in the morning.
To be fair, you did have trouble working out what day, even though I stated tomorrow.
Yeah, I know. I was having my own conversation in that WhatsApp chat with myself in there. So it's because when me and Will did it, we was always recording on the Tuesday or the Monday. So I was like, oh, surely it's not going to be the Wednesday. And I was like, it must be today. And I looked at the message again. I was like, nah, definitely said Wednesday. So I'm right, okay. I'm not going to delete the message. I'm just going to have my own conversation. Be like, no, it's cool. Yeah, cool. Yeah.
And I'll be honest. I love that. That was the best part of it. But we will move on from slagging Will off, even though it's one of my favourite pastimes. But I will leave you listeners with a little bit of a quote from Will. This was earlier today when I spoke to him. So he's well enough to talk on the phone. So surely he'd be well enough to do a podcast, but who am I to comment on that? Yeah. I'm not in a position. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a qualified clinician, so I couldn't possibly comment.
He's got a headache now. It's his birthday.
Oh, he went out for lunch. He actually had a lunch break for a change, so he clearly isn't that ill. But you know, I'm not one to comment, as I said.
No. Yeah, cool.
But you know, when I think it's normally a sort of female thing when you sort of turn a certain age, like 30, but like, oh, I'm not 30, I'm 21 plus 9. Will literally said, nah, I'm not 35, I'm 21 plus 9. Oh, wait, no. He's 21 plus 14.
Oh,
You know when you just... So this was on WhatsApp video. I just stared at the screen. I didn't really know what to say back. So I'm half thinking he was joking, but I don't quite know whether he genuinely made an error.
Masters escaped him in his, his old age.
Yes, I think it has. I think it
has. Been a while since he was at school. Like, you know, longer than me and you anyway. Like, you know, say 20 years.
Yeah, I think they had the cane when he was at school.
Yeah. They're probably still doing Latin as well.
Probably. I bet he's fluent in Latin.
Probably, yeah.
But no, we do miss you, Will, yes. A little bit. And yeah, we wish you a speedy recovery and hopefully you feel better soon from your bad headache.
I'd just like to let the listeners know, that obviously, because you can't see Ben, that he's done the old air quotes in the recovery.
Yes. Yes, I did. But yes, so moving on, shall we? Leicester champions. Hey,
moving on.
Which is great. Yep. It's nice to see them bounce straight back up.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a race for second place here. And Ipswich are holding all the cards at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, all they need is a point, right?
Just a point, get it.
Yeah, because, I mean, the thing is, Leeds goal difference is better than Ipswich. But Ipswich got Huddersfield, and Huddersfield are awful.
Exactly. And
I mean, they're probably just as bad as Rotherham. So.
Ooh. Yeah, Will's got a bit of beef with Rotherham now. Now that he found out about their yo-yoing.
Oh my God.
Lots of comparisons to a certain team that plays in green and yellow. Lots of comparisons.
Lots.
But on the Ipswich side of things, I really want them to get promoted. I've got no doubt they will go straight back down. But I did hear, I can't remember on what podcast it was. I think it was Rest Is Football. Was it Rest Is Football? No, it was on Seaman Says. So he had an Ipswich fan podcast guy on and a Leicester fan and a Leeds fan on. And they said sometimes, like, getting back-to-back promotion is obviously absolutely insane and it's such a huge, huge achievement. But sometimes it's great to go back up, go up two, and then you know full well you're going down, but you just buy young players that have got a bit of potential, give them that exposure and the experience of the Premier League, knowing full well you're going to drop back down to the Championship, but then you gun properly for that promotion to go up to the Prem and then stay, because you get the parachute payments and bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I never thought of it like that.
I mean, it's kind of what Luton have done, right? Luton have equipped themselves one of the best Championship teams to get back up, most probably.
And Burnley did the same, didn't they?
Yeah. So I see the point, but the thing is, if you go up with a really young team and you get absolutely battered every week and you end up being worse than Derby, which is saying something, not even Sheffield United were as bad as Derby. If you end up being as bad as Derby, then the whole, like, you know, high of being in the Premier League is just like you're just so far down.
Yeah,
like when you do play next season, you then might find it even harder to get going for the game. So, yeah, I mean, I understand both points to it, but I think you do need that like experience, even if it isn't Premier League experience, just playing experience, like, for the club,
yeah,
and everything, and yeah, obviously, like, you know, a few players that helped you get out. I hope maybe they can turn some of those loans into permanents. You never know. I know they've got Omari Hutchinson from Chelsea. They've got Sarmiento from Brighton as well. I mean, I very much doubt that they'll be able to turn those into permanents. But
another loan, perhaps.
You never know.
Get them that loan experience.
Maybe, yeah. Because I'm sure Chelsea wouldn't mind a player having Premier League experience rather than Championship experience, and probably the same with Brighton as well. But again, depends on what they have planned for that player, like, going forward and everything. I mean, you know, Chelsea are probably going to buy another 14 players in the summer. So, you know, none of them will be a striker. But
well, you've got Nicholas Jackson, so you don't need a striker. And you've got Nku, who plays four games a season.
Hey, shut up.
It's like you like making a signing that can only play four or five games.
No.
Reece James, Ben Chilwell.
I mean, Romeo Lavia only played 32 minutes, so it's looking better.
Oh my God, I forgot about Lavia.
Yeah.
What's up with him?
I don't know. A witch doctor's cursed him, for all I know.
Look, I don't want to keep talking about Chelsea.
No, excuse me.
I don't want to keep talking about Arsenal either, because what I do want to talk about is Sheffield United. They're fucking awful, aren't they?
They are awful. They are. I mean, they weren't, you know, points wise worse than Derby, but they're around that area. Like, they are bad. Yeah. And good riddance. Hope you don't come back up. Hope you get relegated to League One, because I don't want you anywhere near the Premier League again. I am as strong as this as Will is on Norwich. I do not want Sheffield United anywhere near the Premier League again if you're going to put that sort of showing in.
Is it just purely on their poor performances that you just hate them? Because I've got a bit of a thing that I don't know why, but I just really don't like Sheffield United.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I don't know if it's because, like, obviously when they first came up, Neil Warnock was a manager. I hate Neil Warnock.
He's entertaining, though, isn't he?
I know he's entertaining, but he's just but he's one of those things. He's one of those people, like, obviously, like, players, for example. Like, you know, you love them if they're on your team, but you hate them if you're against them, sort of thing.
Richarlison, like, Mope.
Those, because he's a wind up, and you know, and on the touchline, I can imagine. And I've seen, like, you know, videos and stuff of, like, what he was like back in the day with, like, Sheffield United and stuff. And he's just, I'm just like, no, I don't like. But yeah, no, I can't have them back up again if they're going to do that. Because it's just been awful. Like, you know, they've lost 13-1 to Newcastle on aggregate this season.
Yes. Do you know what? I heard that literally this morning. That's dire, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I think they conceded 5 goals. Was it like... They've conceded more than 5 goals in one game in the Premier League, like... Multiple times.
Yeah,
five or six times. That's awful. We've only conceded 5 once, and that was Tuesday.
What happened? What was the score in the end?
Shut up.
And who was that against?
Let's move on.
Oh, moving on. Okay.
But Sheffield United. I'm sorry to any Sheffield United fans, but I really don't want to see you back in the Premier League anytime soon. Not until you sort out your club, because albeit it was unlucky for them because they lost a load of players when they came up. Like, you know, they lost their star striker, and they lost a load of other players. Like when they came up, and I can't remember if that was for financial reasons or whether just the players just decided I don't want to play for Sheffield United anymore, which I understand. But yeah,
I don't know where this hate has come from. I've never known this before.
I don't know either. I just don't like them. Don't like the ground. Don't like the look of the ground either. Really does my head in. I really don't know why.
Oh my God. Christ, I feel like we touched a nerve here.
Don't like it. Yeah, so cool. Sheffield United, goodbye.
They are confirmed. Who joins them? Because as it stands, you've got Burnley. 35 games, 24 points. Luton, same amount of games, 25 points. And Forest, same amount of games, 26 points. And it must be added that apparently it's this week that Forest have their appeal for the points deductions.
Yeah, I mean, if Forest get their points back, then Forest will stay up and Luton and Burnley will go down. I don't think there's any question, really. Problem is for Burnley and Luton, Forest got to play Chelsea, so that's clearly 3 points to them. So I know.
Come on, you've got to at least do them a favour, because I like Luton. I want them to stay up.
The problem is I like Luton as well, but for some reason, I don't know why, if Forest don't get their points back, I've got a weird feeling that Burnley will somehow stay up.
Oh, I hope not.
I've got a weird... I don't know what it is. Just a weird thing. Because they've suddenly started to pick up, like, wins and points when people never would have thought they should have. Like, people thought they were, like, gone with Sheffield United. And now they're only, what? Is it 2 points, 3 points off Nottingham Forest?
Yeah, 2 points behind Forest.
Two points behind Forest. one win and them two lose, they're out of the drop zone. So, I mean, it would be funny if Forest only get a point back and then the Burnley still go above them.
Yeah, well,
I don't know what their goal.
I was just about to say a goal difference. Burnley's on -32, Luton -29, but Forest is -20. That's worth a point, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, it's worth a point. Yeah. So
I've got a feeling Luton are going to stay up. I don't know whether that's my heart over my head saying that, because Luton for me this season remind me of what Blackpool did when they were in the league. Mm. Like, yes, they got relegated straight away, but my God, some of the games were entertaining. Don't forget, Luton lost 4-3 to Arsenal. Liverpool, Chelsea, they drew. Yeah. City, they lost, but that was really close.
Yeah. 2-1 City, 3-2 to Chelsea. Man United only beat 2-1 at their ground as well. I remember that because that's the one prediction I got right for you.
One out of 412. but they've put in some really good performances, and they're proper underdogs.
But the problem is that I'm seeing, the reason why I think Burnley are more likely to stay up than Luton is because Luton's form at the moment has been awful. Like, mid-season, you're right, like, when they were getting those results, like, you could see there, they've actually got a decent run of form going. Yeah, there's a few more losses in there they would probably have liked, but they've got a good run, considering who they are and who they're playing and everything. But, like, you know, coming towards the end of the season now, you know, you're at the business end of the season, and their form's just taken a complete nosedive. So,
yeah, one win, I mean, they in got, the last five, and they've lost.
They got
four.
Battered for, was it 4-0 against Brentford?
Yeah, something like that. It was insane. They got, wasn't it?
Yeah, they got battered 4-0 against Brentford, which is just like five one. Jesus, 5-1 against Brentford, and. Wow. Brentford have not been good this season. So,
do you know what? Sorry, as you were talking, I was just looking through the table and looking at the goal differences. So you've got Tottenham, who are fifth at the moment, goal difference +15. Newcastle in seventh, goal difference of +19. United are in sixth, goal difference of one. Fucking +1.
Yeah.
I never realised I knew they were shit. You're on +4.
Don't look at Chelsea's. Oui,
yeah,
nice.
You're actually in a positive, which is mental.
Nice.
Mental. So, yeah, in terms of relegation, you think Forest will stay up, or do you think Burnley are going to do it?
If Forest get the points back, or at least 2 points back from the four that they lose four, didn't they? They lose four.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. If they get at least 2 points back from the four, I reckon Forest will stay up. But. If not, I reckon Burnley might stay up. But I will say, just a little caveat to this, I really hope Nottingham Forest go down. Again, I'm sorry, Forest fans. I know you're a massive club with a massive history and everything. But my God, your club does moan and moan about VAR. Like, I can't handle the amount that they're moaning about VAR. You can get a few decisions. It's just the way it goes. Imagine if we didn't have VAR. Go back to Championship, but they don't have VAR. Go on, off you go.
Yeah, and you hired Clattenburg as a consultant. Grow up, Forest fans. Just grow up. Jesus.
But there we go. That's our thoughts on the relegation. Anyway, so, but you think Luton will stay up, but you reckon that's heart overhead.
Yeah, I think similar to you. If Forest get any points back, I think they're safe.
But yeah.
I've got a feeling Luton are going to get two wins. I don't even know who they've got, but I'm just calling it now. I think they're going to get at least one win and a draw. They'll get a minimum of 4 points, and that'll claw them out.
Yeah, I mean, well, they've got Everton, West Ham, and then Fulham. So
Everton are safe. They don't care anymore.
And West Ham are in poor form. West Ham are in poor form.
They've hit a real, really crappy patch.
However, West Ham do have Chelsea the week before that, so they'll at least be on a high after that result.
Mate, Bournemouth could finish above you.
Mate, Bournemouth, did they?
They're on the same points as you. I mean, albeit you've got two games in hand.
Yeah, we've got two games in hand.
You could go level on points with Man U if you win your two games in hand. And you could go up to sixth.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Newcastle will probably win, so they'll go above you. But that's mental. You could still get into Europe.
We've had a terrible season.
No, but what I will say god is, awful season. Not just terrible, it's god awful.
But what I will say is that we're not 12th. We're in the top half.
That is true. Brighton.
And I'm enjoying life in the nosebleed section.
Let's flip the table round then. So title race.
Yeah.
Is it a two-horse race now?
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. It's a two-horse race. Still in City's hands. And the way City play, or the way they play towards the end of the season, like, you know, balls it a few seasons ago, they gave Liverpool a little bit of a chance of winning it, like on the last day, when they played Aston Villa at home, and everyone thought, oh, maybe they might be able to get, you know, Villa might be able to get something out of this. Yeah, no, they ended up winning the game quite easily in the end.
Like 4-0 or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was something like that. So I think I do think it's going to go down to the final day, because, to be honest, I don't see them losing, but also I don't see you losing. Your last tricky game is Man United, and the only reason I say tricky game is Man United is because when Man United have played the likes of Liverpool and, like, you know, the teams above them, other than City.
Well, no, they got a draw against City, though, didn't they? Early in the season, I'm sure they drew.
Nah.
I think they got a 0-0.
Nah. No. City beat them 3-0 at their place, and then City beat them 3-1 at... City beat them 3-1 at Old Trafford. 3-0 at Old Trafford, and then they beat them 3-1 at the Etihad. It was Liverpool they got 0-0.
That's what I'm... Yeah, that might be what I'm thinking.
And then Van Dijk come out and was moaning about, like, you know, only one team wanted to win. So, well, yeah, one team battling relegation at that point. Yeah. All the other one was going for the top. So...
Yeah. I do think City.
Like, I mean, I did think after you lost against Villa, like, that was it, sort of thing. So, and I still do, and also it's the fact that Man City haven't got any semi final of the Champions League to worry about. So
yeah, which is really pissed me off, actually. That really pissed me off. I wanted them to get to the final and then lose. So that would have been really, really great. So they've done it all for nothing, and then they lose the title. But it's a very strange world now, because all Spurs fans are Man City fans, all Arsenal fans are Spurs fans, and all Man City fans, there's only 12 of them, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But what a bizarre world.
Yeah,
and even Man United, so many fans would rather City win a fourth title in a row than have Arsenal win it. Why?
I don't know about that.
Honestly, I've seen it so many times now on all these forums and Facebook groups and things like that. It's insane. Mark Goldbridge was saying it.
I think the reason I'll speak from this sort of side as well, is that you've not won a title in 20 years. Right?
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. We don't want that.
Why?
Because we'd much rather Man City, with the 115 charges against them, win the league and then have it taken away from them. So then, even if you do get given the league, if they do decide to do anything about their charges, then it still won't feel like a league title.
Wow, that's just rude.
No, but that's the way the other fans thinking. Like, City, we all know City are amazing. But you've not won a league for so long. And Man United fans, Chelsea fans, Tottenham fans, I don't know about Liverpool, I don't even know if they really care, to be honest, because City have beaten them for the last, you know, only one season they beat City for the title.
True.
You know, all the teams that were winning titles, like, say, in this last 20 years, do not want you to win a league, because you'd be winning a league before we would have won a league again.
It's mental. It just seems so out of order.
Just seems out of order. But I mean, for me, it's the London thing. I want all London clubs to do terribly, apart from Chelsea, from now on. I didn't used to mind Brentford. I didn't used to mind them. When they come up, I thought, great, Brentford. They're a nice team. Then they keep beating us, and I'm like, fuck you.
Well, they spanked us 3-0 on the opening day of the season, didn't they? So when they first came up.
Yeah, and then they beat us 2-0. 2-0 at Stamford Bridge. I was like, cool, nice. See how this is going to go.
That's a really interesting point that you raise about the sort of perspective of fans.
I think that's the way it is. But I mean, the plus side for you though is if City draw one of their games and end up level on points for you, you've got 7 goals better off than them. So basically, you have an extra point if they're level on points for you. So your goal difference is much better. However,
they've got Spurs and they don't do well against Spurs. And
no, they
it's
don't.
At the Tottenham Hotspur shit stadium.
It's at the Toilet Bowl.
Toilet Bowl Arena, the Armitage Shanks
Toilet
Arena.
Toilet Bowl Arena, yeah. But they do have teams like Fulham and West Ham to play. And I don't know about you, but I can see City putting five past both of them.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
So
I can.
If you can continue putting 5 and 4 past teams...
I mean, we were cruising. I mean, we'll come on to the games in a sec, but the North London Derby, we were cruising up until a point. You know, silly mistakes, I think, rather than anything else, got them back in, but...
I felt really disgusted with myself that day.
But, yeah, I think it's really exciting. I do hope it goes down to the last day of the season, purely just because it keeps that interest in it. And it's been fighting all season then. In all the positions, you've got top four races heating up as well. You know, you've got Tottenham who can, well, they'll be, if they win both their games, they'll be still a point behind Villa. So you need Villa to slip up. I think United are out of that now. I think it's between Villa and Tottenham realistically
for
that.
Yeah, it's between Spurs and Villa now. So,
and then you've got the fight for sixth, really, between United and Newcastle. Newcastle just a point behind them. Who haven't had a very good season, but they seem to have hit form at a very good time.
Got some players back.
Isak is just bagging them in for fun, isn't he?
Isak's just insane. He's the best striker in the Premier League.
Wow, what a statement to finish this little segment, mate. Well done.
He is.
Care to explain?
He's just all-round game. He's just incredible. And it really pains me that he plays for Newcastle and not a bigger club.
Do you think he'll move in the summer, though, considering Newcastle potentially need to sell a player?
I mean, depends what happens. I mean, do they sell Isak or do they sell Bruno Guimaraes?
Well, Hal came out and said, why would I sell him? I want to build my team around Guimaraes. He hasn't said that about Isak.
No, but then I did see someone, I think someone asked him something about, like, you know, do you think Isak would leave Newcastle like in the next sort of like 2 years? And he said no. He just turned around and said no. But thing is, I think he's going to say that because, I mean, it all depends on this whole PSR, financial fair play thing, which...
Yeah, go on. You wanted to talk about this, didn't you?
Yeah. So we'll swiftly move. Look at that. Nice swift movement into that. With the whole PSR thing, obviously that will still go into next season, still under this, it's seemingly outdated PSR, like financial fair play rules. But the new rules, which it looks like, because there was like an informal voting on these new rules, which are the amount that teams will be able to spend will be based on a multiplier of the broadcast revenue that the team finishing bottom of the Premier League gets. At the moment it's 103 million.
Okay.
So if you say the multipliers 4, then that gives you 412 million to spend. Is that quick maths? See, Will, you could learn from that. they give you 412 million to spend. But
as if you come first?
Well, everyone.
Oh, everyone gets the same amount, you mean?
Everyone in the Premier League would get the
right,
same.
I see. Okay.
However, there are like little anecdotes on top of this, though. So there, I think they're still going to bring in this 85% of revenue thing as well.
Right. Okay.
So you can't spend more than 85% of your revenue. So let's say your revenue is only for 400 million, like your revenue that you've brought in, like in the past year, you can't spend more than 400 million, even though the limit is 412, because, or you still can't spend 85%.
Then, yeah.
Yeah. It's 340 million because that's your limit of the 85% of your revenue on there. But obviously then it stops teams like Manchester City and say Man United as well. Cause let's say what Manchester City's revenue is, what, say 800 million.
Yeah, so they don't can't have much then. Free either, do we?
Yeah, but then they can't then go out and spend 85% of theirs. They can still only spend the 412.
Right.
On
okay.
on wages, on transfer fees, wages, and agents fees.
So this doesn't come into play if they are, for example, building infrastructure for the youth systems or the women's team or the academies or whatever. Is that a separate thing altogether?
No. That's a separate thing.
So they could just go and set up a second club?
I mean, they've got like 6 clubs in the City Group, or 17 clubs in the City Group at the moment, so...
But what I mean is, like, the amount of money they make is obviously ridiculous, and their youth teams are amazing. They could just go and just make another team, enter the leagues, and just work up that way.
But then that's the reason why Manchester City will want to free teams to vote against it in this informal vote.
No, really?
Yeah.
I did see Chelsea abstained from voting, interestingly.
Yeah, we just thought we'd let everyone else fight out.
Yeah.
We've done our bit. These past, like, 2 years, we're like, we'll stay away from everything. That's all right. You guys crack on. But the other teams that voted against it were Villa and Man United. Seems weird for Villa to vote against it. I mean, I don't really know what Villa's revenue is on there, but... I can understand why Man United would vote against it, because they still get a decent revenue in, even though they're not as successful as they were, like, you know, back when we were kids and all that. But also, on top of that, there's still stuff on top of this. UEFA are going to be tightening the belts of the Premier League clubs on there.
Okay.
Because UEFA have this 85% of revenue thing at the moment, like in their that's their financial fair play on there, but they're actually going to bring that down to 70% for Premier League clubs.
Interesting.
And interestingly, there's 3 teams that would fall foul to this should UEFA bring this in, and as I say, it won't be until the 25-26 season. It's not next season, the season after.
Right, okay.
3 clubs would fall foul of this. Number one, with 90%, is Chelsea, as you wouldn't be surprised.
Whoa!
Number two was Man United, with 86% of their own. So they're only just above the current one. But strangely enough, third was Arsenal, with 79%.
Yeah, Joe, what I had a feeling it was Arsenal, because we have splashed out a lot of money on transfers.
You have splashed out a lot of money. Yeah,
and I think this summer will be a clear out of let's cash in on certain players that just aren't going to be there, sort of thing. And I think there'll be a few youngsters that may go get 5-10 million for them. It just supplements everything and just
players like Reece Nelson, Eddie Nketiah, that sort of players as well.
Possibly, you know. Smith Rowe, which pains me to say. But then you've got some of the youngsters that might not necessarily break into the first team. You know, Arthur Okonkwo, he's at Wrexham. I think he's at the end of his contract, actually, but I think there's a clause to extend it. So we can always do that and then sell him on for a couple of million or something like that to them. And
true.
Who knows?
True, yeah. But yeah, but that's the new rules. As I say, it is a tad confusing because I literally had to read. I think I had to read the page just before we started this podcast 3 times before I actually understood what was actually being said. Because it was just a bit of a minefield. I was like, okay, so there's this rule here, but then there's this rule here, and then there's another rule here for Europe, for clubs in Europe. And I was just like, okay, spend money, everyone.
I say my head hurts. Must be how Will feels right now.
Christ. Yeah, but basically, I mean, in the long and short of it, if it is say 412 million, you won't be able to spend more than 412 million, because every club who's in Europe makes more than 412 million than would, and you know,
yeah,
that.
Absolutely.
But that would bring the Premier League up to right below the 70% that they're going to look to bring in for the against the Premier League clubs that UEFA are going to bring in. So
interesting.
So yeah.
There you
but
go.
That's that. Sorry if I bored everyone, but it's fine. You can come back because now we've got the fixtures, or the results, not
yes,
fixtures.
Let's go
right
to the result.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Please make sure you are following us. Please like and subscribe to us on YouTube and Spotify. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Simple as that.
There was lots of midweek games, and I am conscious that we've gone through quite a lot of time, even though we said it's going to be a brief express style of podcast. So we'll start with the hammering of Chelsea 5-0 we spoke about. Arsenal 5, Chelsea 0. Wolves 0, Bournemouth 1.
Yep.
Slight surprise at that. Wolves at home.
I don't know.
Pretty solid.
Yeah, but Bournemouth have been playing well recently. That was a good result for Bournemouth. Move them up to try and finish in that top half because they'll be trying to fight for that at the moment.
And considering the way they started at the beginning of the season, there was lots of question marks over Iraola of, you know, is he the right person? Can they play the style of football he wants? They're brilliant. They're doing so well.
Oh, yeah, I think they're great.
Another team that have been hitting form at an annoyingly good time is Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I was actually thinking maybe this could be the season where Sheffield United, Palace and Nottingham Forest all go down and it would just be the best season ever. But no. They beat Newcastle 2-0, which I know Newcastle not been their best, but still, that was a bit of a shock.
It was. They seem to be playing really good football now as well. Mateta is absolutely banging form. I don't think he's particularly good, to be honest.
I don't think he's that good, but he's turned into some sort of goal machine at the moment. I don't really get it. It's like,
yeah, someone's got to do some drug tests on him. You can't just hit form like that and all of a sudden, yeah, there's got to be a reason behind it. But no, fair play to Palace. Fair play to them. They're getting some good results. 2-0 win over Newcastle. Man United made an absolute meal of the game against Sheffield United.
Yeah.
They were losing.
I know. I was watching the Everton-Liverpool game, which we'll come on to, obviously, and I just saw the pop-ups in the bottom corner of Sky Sports, like, oh, it's 1-0 to Sheffield United. Yeah. And I was like, and all I could hear was Gary Neville co-coms go, "You're joking." And I was like, oh, this might be just the best commentary ever. He's so happy in one sense, but then so sad in another sense. Then I saw that they were coming back. But then Sheffield United took the lead. Did they take the lead again? It went 2-1?
I think so.
Or was it 2-2?
Yeah,
it took the lead again. And it's like, I just don't know what's happening with Man United. I mean, you guys spoke about it a few weeks ago, but obviously they had that crazy game against us, which somehow we won. Which,
yeah, insane.
I couldn't get mad around it, but they just, I don't know. They've got some issues, and I mean, and obviously I know we've gone past the news already, but obviously they've brought out that I think there's been a story come out saying that everyone's up for sale, or everyone is to be discussed, other than Kobbie Mainoo, Alejandro Garnacho, and Rasmus Højlund.
Yeah, interesting. Anana.
Includes club captain Bruno Fernandes, and also brand new keeper André Onana.
Yeah. It's going to be a very, very interesting summer, because, you know, as you touched on, obviously, earlier with the new sort of PSR rules, people are going to be selling a lot of players. And I think there's going to be some bargains to be made, because they need to ship these players off, you know, especially with the wages side of things. You know, especially for United, if the players are going to accept a huge pay cut, they could go to, you know, all sorts of teams could snap them up on like a couple of million for some of these players.
Yeah, no, it's true, that's true. But yeah, no, coming away from that, 4-2 Man United, they somehow managed to win it in the end. I mean, Bruno Fernandes, I think, pulled him out of a hole, which he seems to do recently. Yeah. But yeah,
Merseyside derby, the all but sealed Liverpool's fate of not winning the title on Klopp's final season.
This was one of the best games I saw. I loved it, because it was when I was watching the game, it was just like good old fashioned football again.
Lump it forward,
but even then there was a bit of that, because Calvert-Lewin had Konate on toast, it seemed, when he was going up against him. He just kept going towards Konate. I mean, I don't know if Van Dijk actually realised that no one was going near him, but 2-0 Everton, totally deserved. Liverpool weren't good enough, and Darwin Núñez again doing his best impression of Nicholas Jackson. And just booting the ball straight at the goalkeeper. But there you go.
Sean Dyche in his tracksuit. Three games, three wins.
I will say, Sean Dyche, the Premier League manager. That's what we need to say.
Premier League manager and Sean Dyche.
Again, he's kept up Everton.
He has.
Even with a points deduction. But that's the thing. Yeah, with 2 points deduction. So they would have had 8 more points than they were. They'd be mid-table.
Yeah.
So
that'd be brilliant.
You know. Plaudits to Sean Dyche. I know Will won't like that, but, you know, he's not here. So, fuck him.
And then Brighton put in an absolute abysmal performance against City. I genuinely saw this being a draw. I thought Brighton, they normally step up against big teams. They normally give them a game, especially at home. But this season, they've just not been what they were. And unfortunately, City just looked incredible.
Fucking for me, goals. For me, the... As soon as I saw the first goal and how that was scored, like the Kevin De Bruyne header, it didn't even look like he should have scored from there, and he just looped over the goalkeeper. I was like, okay, this is how it's going to go today. And then they got caught out playing from the back as well, like Foden ripped them apart, and it was just, it was bad from Brighton. They've not been good this season. It's funny, ever since people started talking about De Zerbi taking over the Liverpool job, he's been really bad.
Yeah, maybe someone's head was turned slightly. Who knows?
Maybe.
Yeah, it's disappointing that. I'd really hope they'd take some points off them, but
no.
But let me move on to the weekend's games, and then we had West Ham against Liverpool, and West Ham took some more points off of Liverpool.
I mean, if the Everton game wasn't the final nail in the coffin, this definitely was. Definitely. And I had great pleasure in telling my dad that your side's awful. Because they should have won that game.
Bold coming from you, that.
I've accepted that we're awful. He now needs to accept that.
Fair enough. This was a surprise result for me.
It was a bit of a surprise.
But fair play to West Ham. Fought hard, fought well. I think Liverpool wasted a lot of chances, though, so it kind of flatters them a little. But a 2-2 draw, fair play to both. Wolves 2, Luton 1. If I remember, that was quite a late goal, I think, for Wolves to get that. Or am I just making that up?
No, you're making that up. Luton scored late goal.
Oh, maybe that's what I was thinking.
Wolves went 2-0 up. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe that's what I was thinking.
But no, yeah, Wolves started to look good again, to be honest. I mean, I know they didn't win against Bournemouth during the week, but they've started to look half decent again. I know Pedro Neto's out again for them and has been a lot this season, but they've got Cunha back. And obviously Huang's there as well. And I really like that João Gomes in the midfield. Like, I think he's really good. And I think he could step up quite easily to like a...
I agree.
Big, top bigger six. Club. Yeah, top absolutely. Six, yeah. Top six club, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree with that. I can see that happening. Mm. Yeah, I can definitely see that happening. One that slightly surprised me, considering their form at the moment, was Fulham Palace. 1-1 draw. I thought Palace would do that, because Fulham haven't been... convincing of late. The last 3-4 games have not been kind of firing, but this, Palace have looked good.
Yeah, but I mean, Rodrigo Muniz just keeps scoring.
He does, doesn't he? And I he's just got don't Mateta, get it. The goal machine.
He was awful last season. Like, they couldn't get a fucking tune out of him last season, and they were desperate for a striker when Mitrovic was out injured, and they just couldn't get a tune out of him. All of a sudden this season, as soon as Jimenez went out injured, he started scoring and he just can't stop. But I will say, what a strike from Jeffrey Schlupp in this game. It was insane.
It was an absolute banger, wasn't it?
Absolute banger. And especially it was the last 3 minutes as well. I mean,
it's a big point for both teams, I think.
But... Oh yeah, big point for both teams. I mean Palace are already safe, but it just gives them a bit more security on there. But you know, Fulham and Palace, they're now gonna be playing. I mean, Fulham are still trying to push for the top half, but they're both, you know, they're both just going to probably just fizzle out now towards the end of the season.
Yeah, I think it's a good time to test some other players as well, isn't it, really? For I think we spoke about it earlier a bit, but Newcastle 5, Sheffield United 1. I think, to be fair, the first half, Sheffield United probably should have been 2 or 3 up if they actually buried their chances.
I mean, the biggest surprise for me with this game was the fact that Sheffield United took the lead. I was like, good God, this surely isn't going to happen. Like, if they lose, they're down. Surely this isn't going to happen. And then, Isak just turned on the style. And
mental,
just,
isn't it?
And then obviously, Bruno, own goal, and Callum Wilson back from the hospital bed.
Popped up.
I didn't even realise he was back. I didn't realise he was back on the bench. Good win for Newcastle, but see you later, Sheffield United.
Yeah, they are gone. Bye bye. And just to reiterate what you said earlier about Burnley, 1-1 draw against United.
Yeah, and Burnley were unlucky in this game. Burnley should have won that game. And I want to put this into context. And I mean, I hate Man United as much as everyone else, right? But you cannot be Man United at Old Trafford against Burnley and have 47% possession.
Is that what it was in the end?
Burnley had more possession than Man United in that game.
Wow. That's awful.
That is awful.
That just sums up the United season, doesn't it?
Yeah,
just
totally.
Little things
totally.
Like that just sums it all up perfectly.
Yeah, and I mean, I think Burnley were, well, you know, good value for the draw. Possibly should have won it. I mean, somehow Anthony scored. So.
Did he cup his ear and celebrate again?
Probably.
Absolute knobhead.
Probably looking towards trying to find Coventry. Like, you got a long way to go, lad.
But yeah, fair. You know, good old point for Burnley there. Keeps him in that fight. Everton, another win for Sean Dyche, the Premier League manager, in his tracksuit. Everton 1, Brentford 0. I think it was, for Brentford, I think that, you know, mathematically they need a point from their last three games to be completely safe from relegation, but they're safe, we know that.
Yeah, they're safe. I will say in this game, Ivan Toney was awful.
Yeah, he seems to have gone quiet, hasn't he, the last two or three games.
Brentford themselves were awful. And they had their probably, you know, their first choice front three of, you know, Visser, Mbeumo and Toney, and they were awful in this game. Because I actually watched this one, and I came back I think I came back from shopping, I watched it, and I was just like, this is just not the Brentford that I expected to see. Like, I expected to see a bit more energy from them, but there just wasn't, and Everton controlled that game, really. And interestingly, there was no shots on target in the first half, which was crazy.
Just as how boring the game was, I suppose, wasn't it?
Well, it livened up in the second half.
With Brentford, though, as well, I mean, this season, they've not been what we've come to know from them in the Prem. They've been so hot and cold and misfiring. Like, some games, like, everyone always loses a couple of games. You think, you definitely, like, how have you lost that? But they've done that quite a lot this season. But they've still got some really big wins as well. But it just seemed very, you know, opposite ends of the spectrum, isn't it? Quite a lot this season.
Yeah. They've not really put a great run together. It's been very sporadic.
Yes.
Their results, which has made it probably look even worse. And obviously they were towards the bottom, and then everyone was like, "Oh, could Brentford go?" Like, in January, obviously it was the talk of, like, they have to keep Ivan Toney to stay in the league. And he's not played terribly since he's come back from his ban. Obviously he scored some important goals for him since he's come back, but just in that game there, he was awful. And, you know, just didn't really see that coming, to be honest. But
yeah, I think they'll be in the same position as we said about Fulham and Palace, and just kind of fizzle out now. Just do what they need to do, and that's that.
But it might give them a bit of a chance to play with a bit more, like those teams especially, it might give them a bit of a chance to play with a bit more freedom, a bit more, you know, and they might pull out a result.
Yeah, and try something different, maybe. Try out some new things that you've done in training or whatever.
True, yeah.
A game that I was very, very surprised about, it's a game of two halves, was Villa-Chelsea.
Definite game of two halves, this one. There's just... I feared
what the score would be.
I told you a couple of days beforehand, didn't I? I said we're going to get absolutely tanked in that game.
Yeah. I know, and then the first half, I was like, maybe he was right. Obviously, naturally, I got very excited by this.
Again, I didn't watch I didn't watch much of the first half of it.
No, it's because good time I even for said you
to
this
you because I said to you, I was like, I'm not going to watch that game. You went, no, you've got to watch it. And I went, no, can't do it. Nah. But then I did. I put myself through it, and I was like, nah, sod it. Let's watch us lose in Ultra HD again. and it was just like, I mean, the first goal, it was a bit, you know, it was unlucky. Cucurella's turned it in. It's just come to him. It's not, I can't really blame him for it. It's not like he swung a leg at it or anything. Like, it's just hit him and it's gone in the back of the net. Like, you know, that is what it is. Morgan Rogers, I mean, he just likes scoring against Chelsea. He scored against us when he was at Borough in the in the Carabao Cup semi-final. I mean, admittedly, he scored when we won 6-1 against him at Stamford Bridge, not in the game we lost 1-0 at the Riverside. But still. He just started scoring against Chelsea. I like him, though. I think he's a good player. I think he'd do well at Villa. And we were just not good in the first half. But don't know what happened in the second half. Don't know what Pochettino and Thiago Silva both said something in the dressing room, which I would imagine they would do after a first half performance like that. And it was a totally different team. Caicedo actually looked like the player that we paid for, 100 million. Like, he actually was controlling that midfield, and we had all of the ball. And then obviously I went against my golden rule this season of not celebrating if I see something that could be overturned by VAR.
Did you?
And I punched the air and celebrated, but I knew they were going to come back to that Badiashile incident, a little nudge on Diego Carlos, and come back to that and possibly rule it out. But I let my emotions take control.
Oh, Ali.
And that's why I hate VAR. I can't. It's just taking so much fun out of football.
I mean, it's made it more fun for me in this instance, because I can imagine.
I mean, in this instance,
frustrating, though, isn't it? Like, I go back to the Coventry United game in the FA Cup. Mm. Like, it was half an arse cheek offside.
Yeah,
half an arse cheek.
But it's like that another one of our mental games, because that's all we have this season. Apparently, it's just mental games. Is like when we played Spurs and we won 4-1 after they had two players sent off and Van der Ven went off injured and Maddison went off injured. We had to have half their team go off injured or sent off before we could actually have a chance of winning. So when Caicedo scored and I celebrated. And then, you know, Nicholas Jackson's arse cheek hair was offside. His bum hair was offside. And I was just like, are we really doing this? Like, this is... I mean, I know offsides, I will say, offsides are very much clear-cut. It's like, you're either on or you're off. There's no middle ground, on or off. But obviously... But the thing that really got me about this decision, and I'm going into it a bit here, I know, but the thing that really got me about the decision is I saw where the referee was standing, and he was probably standing about 20 feet away. No player in his way whatsoever. Just looking at the challenge. Gave nothing for it. Nothing. And then all of a sudden, VAR's in here, gone, I think Martin would go and have a look at that. And he's gone, oh, shall I go have a look at that? I was like, yeah, I think you should probably go and have a look at that. And he's gone and looked at it, and he's probably been there for about 20 seconds, looked at it and gone, all right, right, so no goal. Yeah, okay, yeah, cool, no goal. Okay, yeah, no goal. And it was like, the thing is, I can understand if a player was in the way of him and he couldn't see it, or he was looking at something else in the box. But he was looking directly at that instant. It's like, they said they weren't going to re-referee the games. They're re-refereeing the games at this point. Like, because the thing is for me, if the VAR should be saying to the ref, did you see that push on the player? And the referee goes, saw it, didn't think anything, like, Don't think it's a foul. VAR should go, okay, cool, play on.
Yeah.
And that's not just for this incident. This is all incidents. They should be saying to the referee, did you see that? And if the referee goes, yes, I saw it, or he says, I don't think there was contact, or I don't think there's enough to do it, then VAR should be going, okay, because the referee has made his decision and he is the one who makes the decision. Now, if it's like the referee gives a penalty, but the VAR can see there's absolutely no contact. The referee goes, yeah, I can. And the referee says, yeah, penalty because he's taking him down. The VAR can actually turn around and go, well, actually, no, because he's not touched him. And then and then send him to the screen. But this is what they should be doing. They should be asking the ref, going, did you see, what was your interpretation of that incident? And if VAR see what the referee sees and the referee goes, yeah, I saw the push, I don't think it's enough. VAR should not get involved in that sense. Should not get involved. The only time they should do it is if it's and I will say what they all say, clear and obvious.
That's just about which to say clear and obvious.
It's not. It's mean. Not clear. Like, a lot of these stuff is not clear and obvious. Like, you know, Nottingham Forest has been bucked over. Like, you know, quite clear and obvious. Like, their one should have been given as a penalty. Wolves, earlier on in the season, they got bucked over quite a bit. Like, you know, with getting penalties given against them. That's clear and obvious. It's not clear and obvious if the referee's already seen it and already looked in and said, no, I don't think it's foul. And now he's looked at it again and gone, oh, I think it's a foul. Because also you've slowed it down to like 0.225, like, you know, speed. And I go, oh, yeah, that looks even worse now. Which it does. Everything looks worse when you slow.
Yeah, no, I do agree. And I'm going to stop the rant because we genuinely could go on forever, because this is what we always do on this podcast.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
I totally agree. No, don't apologize. It's the way the game is now. Like, everything you said, I totally agree with. But it's just one of those. I just hope things do change slowly but surely, and fingers crossed they do.
I think with offside it will, because they're bringing in the semi-auto stuff. But
I mean, yeah, we'll probably just do another episode in the summer and talk about VAR and the changes once we understand it.
I think that's quite interesting.
And go back through some of the sort of bigger calls this season, perhaps, just as a bit of an idea.
Yeah.
And then just final three games from Sunday. The first one was Bournemouth-Brighton, which genuinely surprised me a little bit, actually. 3-0 to Bournemouth. I know Brighton have not been great this season, but I didn't expect Bournemouth to win that convincingly. I was really surprised.
I didn't expect Bournemouth to win that convincingly, but I heard the team that De Zerbi had put out, and it had like 7 changes, 2 players making their debuts, 1 player making his second appearance or something, and it was like I didn't quite understand what he was doing, because technically they can still they could have still made Europe at that point. They could have, but he just decided. It's like he just decided. No, I'm just gonna play, like, you know, whoever now, because we've got nothing to play for.
Maybe it's an internal thing of we don't want Europe this next season, because it absolutely hammered them.
Yeah, yeah, and I mean I did think they'd struggle with the with Europe this season, and they have, but yeah, I mean, I saw this coming. I did think Bournemouth would win anyway, but then I very much thought they'd win after I heard what team Brighton were putting out. So, Fair enough. It was a massive shock to me.
Big 3-0 win. I'm just going to skip a fixture, because then we'll go back to it and kind of finish on that
one. Yeah.
Forest 0, City 2. I know we spoke about it briefly. I thought Forest would put in a bit more of a performance, but to hold City to 2 is not bad.
I mean, I don't think Forest actually played that badly. I do think they nullified City a bit. But then I think, well, there was one set piece, Gvardiol header, and... you know, then Guardiola just decided, oh, I've got the second best striker in the league there. I'll chuck him on.
Yeah, I mean, it's just typical, isn't it? You've got Haaland sat on the bench raring to go, and he comes on and scores. You've got De Bruyne, who all of a sudden is, you know, regained fitness again, and he's got more assists than anyone else this season now.
Yeah, I did find one.
22 games this season, 20 games.
Yeah.
And he's got more assists than every single person in the league.
I mean, it's ridiculous, but also it doesn't really surprise me as well. But there was one thing I found a little bit funny in this game, and it was just one period of play where I didn't realise he had this pace, but they're Nottingham Forest left back, Ola Aina, absolutely just.
He went straight there.
I didn't realise he had that pace, because he was at Chelsea, and I didn't realise he had that pace. And he just ran past Kyle Walker like he wasn't there. And I'm thinking, you don't do that to Kyle Walker. I don't really know what's just happened there. But then there was a point they just looked at him again, and he was just like, and he was like, "Cool, he's knackered now. He can't do anything for the next 10 minutes."
Do you know what? He did that. I think it was was it against us? He was against us or Tottenham, I think it was. He did that earlier in the season. And he just beat everyone. You think, where the fuck did that come from? How have you done that? So, like, how have you got so quick? But no, fair play to him.
Yeah, fair play to him.
But yeah, I just wanted to deliberately end on the North London Derby, because similar to a lot of games this season, it was a game of two halves. I was reasonably confident that we'd get a win, but I did think it would be tight. But it shouldn't have been as tight as it was.
No. I mean, I thought you'd win. I didn't want you to win, which really made me disgust myself. Because, obviously, I don't want Spurs to win anything ever. But I also don't want you to win the league. So, as we discussed earlier. So... yeah, I mean, I was at golf when this was on, so I didn't watch it, but I saw the highlights, and I came out of golf, and it was half time, and the first thing I saw was a quote from Gary Neville saying this could get messy for Tottenham, and I was like, oh my god, and then I saw it was 3-0, I was like, oh fuck,
yeah,
this is bad.
Yeah, honestly, it was a strange game, to be honest, and I think I don't want to big up my own team too much, because second half we capitulated and we made some stupid errors. But first half, we could not have set up any better. We defended very deep.
Yeah.
Spurs, the first 10 minutes, they were all over us. I genuinely thought they were going to score first. I thought, uh-oh, we don't look that convincing. And then it got from... I can't remember. No, I think that's Saka's goal was the second, if I remember right. Yeah. So first one was an own goal from Højbjerg.
Yeah, Højbjerg, yeah.
Which, it looked like a good set piece, to be fair. A really dangerous area. And, you know, Højbjerg, unfortunately, is deflected off him. It's gone in. Fantastic. It was slightly against the run of play. Yes, we earned a corner, but it was slightly against the run of play, to be fair. But then Saka's goal, I know there's a lot of sort of controversy around it, a bit of drama. So Kulusevski got tapped by Trossard, I think it was.
Yeah.
For me, it wasn't a pen. It was too light. And I think because he stayed on his feet a little bit before he went down, I think that's gone against him. If he went down, they probably would have got given that. But I do genuinely feel like it wasn't enough contact for him to go down. I feel like he's felt it, got another step or two, and then gone, oh, I need to go down here, I'm in the box. You can almost see what he's doing. But from that, we were so rapid. Down the other side, Saka, bang, long ball to him. Cut inside for Ben Davis, I think it was. Turn him inside out, slotted it in the corner. Fantastic goal. And all of a sudden we're 2-0. And I just sat there and thought, wow, that was
easy.
Fucking hell, it was quick. Like, how? That was absolutely lethal. Yeah. And then, we got a third. I'm like, oh my God, this genuinely could be dangerous. Mm. In the second half, I mean, we sat back again, which was the way we set up, which was fine. David Raya was caught in two minds, just chipped it over the Spurs player to another Spurs player. Christian Romero, what the fuck are you doing up front? I have no idea. Why is he that far up the pitch is beyond me. But really neat finish. Puts pressure on. 3-1. Very dangerous scoreline.
Yeah, 3-1's very dangerous because you get... I mean, if they'd got that second goal, like, 10 minutes earlier, then you've got, like, a good 15 minutes, like, including added time, you've got a good 15 minutes of then pressure, which... And, I mean, for me... With the Kulusevski thing, I mean, and obviously I've got no dog in the fight, really. Like, you know, I mean, obviously I'd have rather you drawn, but I've got no dog in the fight. But I do think it was a penalty, but it's one of those decisions again, and this is where VAR's just nah, where. I don't know if anyone heard that, but that was terrible. Where if they'd have given that, they wouldn't have overturned it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though they didn't give it, and then they checked it and then didn't overturn that decision. So it's that weird, like,
it's all subjective every time though, isn't it? It's not clear.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean I do think it quite I know it wasn't on purpose, like, to clip him or anything, but I do think it was a penalty because it did clip him and he did then clip his own leg for them to then go down. It would have been a softer penalty, but I don't think there would have been a massive amount of complaints had that have gone, like, you know, that but they wouldn't have been talking about it and going, oh, should that have been a penalty? Like, I think it would have been like sort of like, okay, yeah, you know, there was contact and that's that sort of thing.
Doing it though. Yeah. Declan Rice, did he deliberately kick Ben Davis in the bollocks?
Probably not, but I mean, he stopped Ben Davis from having kids for the next 10 years. So,
I was like, that's no way is that a pen. And then I saw it, I was like, there's no way they're not giving that as a pen.
I was listening to the second half on the way back on BBC, and the commentator was like, oh, what a dive from Ben Davis. What's he doing? And then they've looked again and gone, oh, okay, no, Rice is actually cute. I apologise to Ben Davis. But
yeah, it was a bad challenge.
I mean, it wasn't deliberate, but it's the same thing of, like, I think Calvin Phillips did it for West Ham against Newcastle, where Anthony Gordon's just got in front of him.
Yeah.
Calvin Phillips is already trying to clear the ball, and he's just caught. He's then caught him because he's got in front, which
you're
it's
in
a penalty.
That motion, aren't you?
You're already in that motion. You can't stop yourself, but the player's got there in front of you, and that's just the way it is, unfortunately. But I mean, I did find the Raya, you know, pass quite funny.
Oh, yeah.
It was just a perfect chip.
It was a quality pass to Christian Romero.
I need that on the golf course, mate.
You need a lot more help on the golf course.
Wow.
Mate, it's coming from me. I can't even hit it with a driver properly. But what I was encouraged by was the fact that we held on. And I don't think I think they hit the post. But I think that was more luck than anything else. But other than that, Ryan made that mistake and he looked absolutely quality after. Looked completely assured. And I think, as I mean, everyone who listens regularly knows how much I love Ramsdale. I think he would have struggled a little bit having made that mistake at this time of the season, especially against Spurs. Because I think he understands that rivalry a lot more than what Raya does. I think Raya has probably come in and gone, yeah, all right. Yeah, it's just a game.
Yeah, I mean, they had, because I wasn't watching it, they had Mark Schwarzer as the co-commentator, and obviously, you know, you want someone to talk about good goalkeeping. Like, he was quality goalkeeper in his time in the Premier League. So, but, like, from what it sounded like, David Raya was very commanding at crosses in the box, like, you know, in his box, he was very commanding. Apart from that one mistake, yeah, okay, it was a mistake, but he was very commanding in his box and seemingly mopped up everything that came through on there. So other than that one mistake, David Raya did have a really good game. But fortunately, it didn't cost you, because otherwise, had it have cost you a win, I think there would have been more made of that mistake, because that mistake's definitely... Because obviously, at Ramsdale, Southampton, at your place against Southampton, and, you know, obviously you
cost
drew that game,
the league,
didn't you?
And all that. Yeah, and, you know, it does have a knock-on effect. But
Bukayo Saka cost you the league by not scoring his penalty against West Ham last season. Don't blame Ramsdale.
Oh, God. I forgot about that. But look, it doesn't matter because we're on this season now.
We are in this season.
It ended Tottenham 2, Arsenal 3. North London is red. Happy St. Totteringham's Day. And Ali, thank you for coming on the pod today.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Cheers, guys. See you next week.
Thanks for listening to the FDP. Please, please like and subscribe on YouTube. It really helps us drop the pod. Follow us on X, Facebook and Instagram. Just search Football Drop Podcast. Please also email us your football stories and anything else that you want to talk to us about. We're at footballdroppodcast@hotmail.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.